This episode of the Star Wars Report is brought to you by all of our supporters over at patreon.com/Star Wars Report. Thank you so much to everybody over there who's become our patron and is making the Star Wars Report podcast become a much better program, and we can't do it without your support. If you want to join in, support us over at patreon.com/Star Wars Report.
Just a farm boy with dust in his eyes, a princess from pastures of green. Lonesome rebel, she sent out a call, he picked it up on his machine. Rescued and got away clean. Handsome rogue with a lopsided grin, a scoundrel and pirate was he. His partner in crime kept her running on time. Thick was the honor of thieves. 2,000 downtown leave.
Falcon flight with destiny. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Star Wars Report podcast.
Birds of a feather well weathered together, chasing the dark from the night.
That's right. So glad you've joined us. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Please delete as appropriate. Joining in the dulcet tones of High Adventure. I love this song. Can't get it out. I'm Riley Blight, your host for this podcast episode. Let's do it.
Shrouded in silence.
Oh, I love that song. That's a throwback. Yeah, like I said, I'm your host, Riley Blanton. So glad that you've decided to tune in to the Star Wars Report podcast. Welcome. It is the 171st episode of the program. Man, as we trundle ever closer now to 200 episodes, my voice is actually somewhat shot from, I think I'm going to blame Star Wars Weekends, but we'll get into that in just a second. Joining me, as always, as he does each and every week, it's my good friend and yours, huge Star Wars fan and co-host of this here program, it's Mr. Mark Herleman.
What is up, my friends, my fellow Bothans, my Star Wars fans out there?
Hey,
it's
man.
Me and Whistler chilling out. Happy to be here.
I know. Mark, there's so often I just want to say, Herleman, like you're the man, but it's Herleman.
You know, I adopted that myself in a lot of ways. In fact, it ticked my sister off at first, and then I was like, you know, at some point you're going to get married, and you're not even going to be Herleman anymore. You're just going to have to let it go. We call ourselves the Hurley clan, you know, my family, me and my kids. Yep. My mom and dad are like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, it's Hurley man. You know, I wear my Hurley gear all the time. I'm like, I am the Hurley man.
Exactly. Well, speaking of whatever transition I can't possibly make because it's 10 o'clock at night, it's my sister, Bethany. Welcome back to the Star Wars Report podcast. Hello.
Hello, poppets.
That's the worst.
I was watching that last night.
You were?
I was.
I really want to rewatch that. And I've completely thrown us off Star Wars as I usually do. But anyway.
Hey, I'm so
excited. Riley, you cannot blame Star Wars Weekends for your voice. You can blame specifically the Tower of Terror, because I promise you, we were all shrieking and screaming.
I have not
and will not get on that ride. My wife, daughter, both times, I'm like, go, bye, guys. I'm like,
have a good
Taylor,
time.
When she was three, we went on the drop zone thing. I'm like, no. She was the only kid in the whole state that did it, and I had to go on it with her because she was so small. Nope, never doing it again.
It is an aptly named ride. Absolutely. No, we have an absolutely jam-packed episode for you guys today. And I'm so excited because we're going to be talking all about our time at Star Wars Weekends. And of course, all the news that's been breaking, during that time. Well, I don't know, like our first look at Carrie Fisher as Princess Leia. And of course, all the E3 news that's coming out, and I'm taking a look at our show rundown here real quick, and it's just, man, Reverse front and center is Steve Blossom at the at the Indiana Jones Stunt Spectacular. But we'll get to that. We'll get to that. But let's jump straight into... Well, and before I do, and see, this is why I have my rundown. Before we jump into the Star Wars Weekend stuff proper, I wanted to do two quick plugs. I was on the 140th episode of Geek Out Loud / Big Honkin' Show. That's kind of what it was called. And it was an absolute blast. I was with Steve. It was when I went down for the first Star Wars Weekends and hung out with him one evening as I made my way back north. And we had an absolute blast. We talked everything from the Noah movie, of all things that came up.
Hate that movie.
And the, well...
That's a little strong.
It's a little strong.
Yes. I'm not a fan.
Let go of your hate.
When Tubal Cain smuggled himself onto the Ark, that was kind of the jump the shark moment for me. We talk about it in that episode.
That was?
Well, there were a couple of... Yeah, there were others. But no, it was a fun discussion, and it ends at the very end of the program on that episode of Geek Out Loud. I actually play live in studio a rendition of the... Robin Hood's songs. A little medley of sorts, actually, from Disney's Robin Hood. So that's what you can find there.
Yeah, the Disney, that's the old...
I'm very tempted
Mark,
to stand
wow.
up right now.
I love that one. But then the other one is the old, Prince of Thieves with the... Dun, dun. I love that little song, too. I can't off the top of my head, but I was just listening to it at the beginning of Pirates of the Caribbean because they use it on that little opening thing.
Well, and so that was a fantastic time. You can find that at geekoutpodcast.com. It's episode 140. Encourage everyone to go listen. Hey, more people listen to that, I assure you, than this. But I do want to say, if you did not already hear it, I want you to send you over that way. I was also on the Star Wars Report's new podcast. We've had them on for a couple weeks on the network, but Cloud City Casino, the Second Airborne's official gaming and collecting podcast. I was a guest on that episode and had an absolute blast with Michael Morris, and that is episode 5, entitled The Episode Strikes Blanton. So it's rather aptly named, I'm not going to lie.
I like that, especially when you're sitting there like, which episode was it? It struck you so hard you forgot!
And while we're doing plugs out the gate, High Adventure... and this is a way throwback, but since we played them at the beginning of the program, they are working on a new album. And Bethany, if you could pull up the Star Wars Report email so that we could actually plug properly the location where they're doing where they're raising the funds to put together their fourth full album. Those guys are absolutely amazing, and go way back to my first Star Wars celebration at Celebration 5, where I said I got to see. Glenn Nelson from High Adventure, and he was so nice because we had talked before, but way back in the day when we did the Bothan Report, and it was just crazy to actually run into him. I think he's one of the first people I ever ran into, and he was super super nice. So I wanted to talk if you like the song that we played at the beginning of the show or know High Adventure's work. I absolutely love their stuff, and we should really get him on in the next couple weeks while this thing's running.
We should, so basically what this is, it's their new album called High Five, and they're teaming up with a website called Pledge Music. It's a bit like a Kickstarter where you mm-hmm. pledge to purchase their album, and once they hit their goal, essentially they can release it. So, and they have about a month left, and they're already at, over 20% of their goal. So that's mm-hmm. pretty good. But they do lots of Star Wars related stuff. They've done Indiana Jones related stuff. Essentially, if you're listening to this podcast, you will like their stuff.
We'll have to play a full song maybe on the post credits that we'll do.
Yeah.
But enough about that. Let's jump into Star Wars Weekends proper. So, a couple weeks ago, I'll tell the story. I mean, it's territory worth covering again, because I feel like I never fully aptly describe the rapid transformation that I have had in terms of my time pre-Disney and post-Disney.
It's fast, right?
It's fast, because, I mean, we live in a fast-paced age, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, we live in times of controversy, of public discourse, as culture changes, and... big issues are happening. I mean, whether it's Caitlyn Jenner or whether it's the 2016 elections coming up, there are serious issues that people are evolving on and talking about, and I believe that there's a national conversation that's worth having. And I think my best contribution to all of that is to talk about how I like Disney now. Because I, too, have had a transformation.
I got to ask you, because I've had one as well. Before you were bit by the magic, did you have that I could walk away and never go here desire? Because that's how I was before I went my first time at 33.
I'd like to think of myself as increasingly bitter about it.
I think so, too. I think there is something about that. Like, once you hit 25 and you haven't been to Disney, you're like, baby, I don't need to go. I've gone this long. But I tell you, man, after I went that first time, there's that magic moment. And I don't know exactly when it happened. It probably was when I was on Star Tours. But as soon as I left, I wanted to come right back. And it's been that way every single time I've been back. And I just can't wait to get back there again. And from our talks, it sounds like you've had a very similar experience.
Very similar. And the blame, as I talked about, I think, on our Patreon day, patreon.com/StarWarsReport. With Teresa in person, is that I've been thinking about going to Star Wars Weekends for a long time, but I was always deterred by the ticket prices to Disney because it's not your average cheap theme park. It's not some kind of Six Flags over Orlando. It's not like that. But when I went, I was just totally bowled over, not just by the amazing Star Wars events and character photo ops and themed restaurants and collectible items and exclusives and panels. And I mean, all that's great. But just like being at Disney for the first time and realizing that this is a place that has an almost strangely militant dedication to happiness. If there's such a thing, right? It's like, you will not be unhappy.
There is a lot of truth to that. I know a few different staff members that work in different departments, and I will be vague for their own sanity because I'm sure the second I say I know people, they're like, don't you say my name!
Yes.
It's very interesting from these two individuals that I know that are in very decent positions to have some know of certain things. But one friend of mine, you know, the one I will be able to talk about is the one that used to work at Star Tours and she does staff things and the different things she can and can't say to the people in the park for one. And then when I go down there, typically on her days off and stuff, she'll come with us down to the park and the insight I get from her, you know, just from while she's critiquing other employees that are doing their things, well, that was good, that was bad, they should have done this, they shouldn't have done that. Or she would explain what other guests at the park would have done or have done. It's just mind-boggling the different levels of things that they've had happen and the different rules that they have to toe. You know, one of the ones that came up recently with members of the 501st and stuff, and I believe it was already in place at Celebration Anaheim, was the 501st members got an email where they can no longer point their rifles at heads and things like that. Now that they're owned by Disney and stuff, their rules are changing. They're getting more strict. You know, one thing that I think of that has very little to do with Star Wars is the whole Easter eggs where if you were in the toy store, you saw any of the characters and you say, Andy's coming, they would all lay down. And then eventually they stopped doing that because some of the staff members would get hurt and things like that. Or some of the characters would get hurt and things based on where the characters were when they fell and who was near them and stuff like that. It's just crazy. But they're very, very conscious of keeping that magical moment and not breaking the magic. And I think that's probably one of the coolest things about it, because you'd be sitting there talking to somebody that's 50, 60 years old. And they get it. You know, they either are doing it themselves or they've been doing it or have done it, or, you know, people that have worked on the park at one time or the other. I find that a lot of families that have discovered the magic stay rooted in the magic. And since I've been going to the park, I've kind of slowly kind of gotten into that community more, you know, especially on Facebook, the different Disney fanatic groups.
Oh,
and stuff.
You're not kidding.
You know,
it's like, a Mark,
I've
it's
got
an entire,
like, oh man, these fanatics, you know,
but exactly.
Time, there's a lot of fun in it.
Yeah, and you're right. The community surrounding Disney is very fanatical in many ways, in the coolest of ways. But and that's the thing about it. Like my entire experience until I was 23 years old is, you know, experiencing Dixieland Funville, and it's sort of like you walk up to the county fair, and they have a climbing tower, and there's like, hey kid. let you climb up the wall for $5. Hurry up, man. That's the idea. That, and at Disney, it's literally, you know, an ungodly temperature of 99 degrees, where the temperature and level of humidity almost match. It's like 95.
We've reached the dew point.
Exactly. And yet still, there are these freakishly happy 19-year-olds who are just... they're just hanging out at every point, and it's just like, it's like the anti-Walmart. Instead of no employees to be seen anywhere, it's cast members everywhere, and instead of everybody being miserable, it's everybody being happy, and it's hilarious, yeah. And I love it. It's Disney. That was my experience last year. And so we roll up. I had a much better idea of what to expect, of course. And well, I mean, not to... I shouldn't cut the story short. So we went last year, and then I did an unplanned second one-day trip with Aaron and Teresa to go see Mark Hamill. And we chronicled that on the podcast last year. And then I decided to go to two weekends this year. I went to the first and the last weekend. So I went one day on the first weekend a couple weeks ago and kind of talked a little bit about my experience. And then, of course, we kind of got that was me... I got to hang out a little bit with different folks, but this was really the weekend to be there. It was the big Rebel Force Radio meetup was happening. Frank Oz nice. Was there, and this was the weekend to be there.
And Ray Park.
This is true, absolutely. And that's what it was. So we made our way down Thursday night from the Fayetteville Annex of the Star Wars Report podcast and started our road trip down to Orlando. And we made it in at a nice pace and plenty of time to actually go down to one of my favorite places, Downtown Disney.
Nice.
And it was... Downtown Disney's not unlike
which
a Disney
cool
park without the rides.
Which the DD.
The double D?
Yeah. I like it.
Right. But yeah, no.
Oh, goodness.
And I'm going to reference, this will be in the show notes, but head over to StarWarsReport.com if you're listening. This is episode 171, and we'll send a link to this. I did a very thorough blog post that I just finished this afternoon, and for all the folks in the live chat, I'm just going to pop that over there if you guys want to kind of monitor that. There you go. There's the link. You can copy that and put it in your web browser of choice and follow along. But yeah, we arrived at Downtown Disney and got to hang out for a bit, see some of the live musicians that were playing there. I don't have the audio. Oh, well. I have a recording of one of the musicians, but I don't have a way to play the audio.
You're telling me you were capturing things down there?
I was capturing things.
Well, one thing I was curious about was, you know, Star Wars Weekends. I've been following Trish. I've been following you guys. And I get the sense that there's a lot more panel action going on now that Disney owns Star Wars and stuff. Very similar to what we saw at Star Wars Celebration Anaheim and stuff like that. You know, what can you go into detail about that? Like, is it the same shows 3 times a day, 4 times a day? Is it repeated? Is it each time? Is it new? You know, are they giving us new content? What's the deal behind that?
Yeah, and if that's the thing about Disney is that it's ridiculously well produced. It's a lot of the same kind of programming you would see at a celebration, but there's not as much of it. So I think that they have a little bit more time to really focus on and make it something really special. So you have the pre-shows with the stormtroopers doing their skits. You have, great music. You have great facilities. You have the costume characters running around. You have James Arnold Taylor producing just some amazing stuff. So yeah, it is somewhat similar to something you'd see at a celebration. But I don't think you get the exclusive announcements that you would at Celebration. So, for instance, they would play the trailer to the Rebels season 2 premiere that we saw debut for the first time at Celebration Anaheim. But they wouldn't. But I don't think they would make any huge, you know, like trailer debuts. Although I think sometimes there's merchandising announcements as well.
Oh,
yeah.
Now, so if you go there in the morning one, is that going to be the same, you know, for all intents and purposes, the same 30 minutes, if I go to the first one today as if I go to the first one tomorrow or the next day.
There are going to be some slight differences on the interview ones, but otherwise they're going to be very similar. So if you don't have to like go to the – Frank Oz will do three panels, one on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, but you don't have to be able to see all of them. So that's good. It allows you a little bit of freedom to navigate the weekend without having to go to every panel every time.
Yeah.
That's where I'm conflicted, though, because it's that aspect of, you know, they do all the Star Wars weekends, the hardcore aspect of it over there, which it makes sense because you can get all the actors and stuff to show up at it. It would be harder for them to do it over in California, but that's the angle that I think for the fans going, that was one aspect of Celebration that was really cool, was getting to see the actors and stuff rolling around doing their own things. And you know, Jat's been doing it for a long time. We've had Ashley Eckstein now doing it for a long time. They've been hosting these over there. And I love the fact that there are some staples going on over there. Yes. You know, the fact that they're always there kind of thing. You know, they become the face of this in a lot of ways. And I don't know. I mean, that's kind of relieving in a lot of ways.
Yeah, no, it's really well produced, and those panels are amazing. And we'll talk. I think let's get straight into it. Like on Friday proper, we got up. Bethany and I headed over to the park, got a chance to catch the parade with Tom from the Ion Cannon podcast. We hung out with him and his son. That was amazing. Really fun to meet up with those guys. And let's see what else. And beyond that day, we swung by Darth Maul. We actually went by Darth Maul twice that day. And I think twice the next day, which is an unusual amount for me because I don't end up collecting a whole lot. And
I just went to keep.
You discovered
looking at
the Ewoks. The exclusive Ewok plushies, and there's a picture of you. I think it's on your Instagram too, Bethany L. Blanton, but also on the blog post. Clinging to an uncomfortable amount of stuffed Ewoks.
You know, in fact, your picture. It made me realize something because my kids, they've got Wicket, they've got the princess, and my oldest daughter went to go get Chief Chirpa when we were down there, but I didn't think she'd want it, so we didn't get it. And then we come back, and then I find out I blew it.
Uh-oh.
Like, all she wanted was an Ewok. So I'm like, I call my friend, I'm like, hey, you know, this Ewok, I don't know how much it's going to cost, anything you can do. And she sends me back another picture, and it's not that Ewok. I'm like, okay, well, that would work too. It's like Tebow. I'm like, oh, okay, we'll take Tebow. And then I saw Bethany's picture, and I'm like, oh, there's about six of them. I'm like, oh, immediately the collector in me was like, I could get all six. And I'm like, no, stop.
I ended up purchasing Beth. What? Here's the funny thing is that Bethany and I both became proxy shoppers for two different individuals. Bethany, one Teresa Delgado, was like, I have to have these Ewoks in my life. And so she's like, Bethany purchased three for her. And then I got a text from Steve after waffling back and forth. Steve Glosson's like, all right, let's get the Ewoks. And so I got the Ewoks, and they were amazing. And I saw
you got that shirt, too. I want that shirt.
I know. Huge
so
thank you to Robert. Robert Parker. I met him for the first time at Celebration, where he was sitting a row behind where we were for the Rebels Season 2 premiere. He was a super nice guy, and it turned out he listened to the show, and he found out that I'm poor and I don't buy merchandise at Disney, and he's like, all right, I'm going to get you this shirt. And he was super nice about it and kind of did it as a parting gift as I get ready to go off to field training, and it was very, very nice of him to do that. So, yeah, awesome. I got one of the Force Awakens shirts, and I'm super, super happy. It was amazing.
Yeah, those. As soon as I saw those and then I saw the word exclusive, I'm like, oh, I'll never see one of those in my life. And then I saw the pin and I'm like, I really want that pin because, like, you know, that's the other side of the Disney thing. Like, I got the lanyard. I got the stinky little pins on there. I love my little rebel crest with the Mickey ears. And I'm so upset that I could not and still cannot find cheap enough the Imperial version of it. I'm just like, these pins are so awesome.
Yeah, no, it's unfortunate, but I just can't trespass into that collecting territory. It just kills
especially
me.
Now, man. I mean, now you've got Disney in the market, you've got Infinity 3.0 or whatever it's called.
I mean, forever will it so consume your destiny.
Exactly.
Let's face it.
Yoda was right. Listen to Yoda. I'm sure he was talking about the Ewok exclusives.
You know, that's what it was like. Every kid with their first purchase, Yoda was in the back of their head. Once you start down this path, take it back.
Once like, you buy these Ewoks, forever will they dominate your destiny.
For me,
it's only one X-Wing Yoda.
Yeah. For me, the one really fun thing was we went to the Rebel Force Radio listener meetup and live recording there. And that was a lot of fun. There was a good 38 listeners or so and some other people.
That's
who were
the amount
like,
that were on Star Tours.
Yeah.
And we all know
now,
it well.
Now, was this like just a location that Jimmy picked or something? Or is this like a place
that
was outside the park and then you guys went into the park?
I believe Trisha picked this location up. And it was basically, it was just inside the park and it was in a nice shady spot so that most of us could be in the shade.
It was along the Streets of America, the Streets of America section of downtown, well, not downtown Disney, but the downtown Streets of America district, I guess, of Disney's Hollywood Studios. And yeah, we caught up with Jimmy Mack and Steve. We'd met them the night before for dinner. But this was like proper Rebel Force Radio in action. We got to be part of it. Bethany and I each got to
scallyway.
Bethany and I each make an appearance on the recording. So make sure that you listen to, as you listen to this, it'll be, this week's episode upcoming of Rebel Force Radio, I'm sure. Catch that. Those guys are amazing. Said it once, I'll say it many times. I got to stand up there with two of my podcasting inspirations, Steve Glosson and Jimmy McInerney, and that was amazing.
Awesome. That was the one thing about Celebration in Anaheim that really bummed me was, you know, I went to the Del Rey or Star Wars at Del Rey panel, and it was in their room, and I was all excited. I was like, yeah, you know, because me and Jimmy had talked on the show, we were going to meet up, and I knew he was busy, so I was like, this is my chance. He wasn't there. Jason was, and I was literally sitting behind Jimmy and Jason's open reserve seats. So I had a great line of view to him, and I was just like, all I wanted to do was just chat to the man. I'm like, yeah, we got to get him on the show at some point. I love the fact that other podcasts are out there doing these kind of meetups and stuff. And after going to the Celebration Anaheim podcast listener meetup, I think those were one of the funnest events out there, you know, from the aspect of podcasting. You know, I really dig podcasting. I love everything about, you know, the creating the product and stuff and having fun talking with all my fellow fans and stuff. And then doing something like that where you sit down with people that are actually listening to your show and they actually enjoy it, you know, where you don't feel like you're just talking to a wall and stuff and you have some really great conversations. I mean, that's where I met Mike Morris, and that's when we kicked out a lot of what was going to come down with Cloud City Casino. And just, you know, a really fun time at those things, man. And I can see in the pictures that Jimmy was sharing on Facebook and stuff, looked like everybody that was there that was just in their presence was generally having a blast as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. It's very rewarding, you're right, to actually have in-person conversations without the kind of digital wall of the internet. Because for all of its amazing opportunities that internet broadcasting provides, it's not quite the same as that in-person connection. And that was certainly there at the Rebel Force Radio meetup and podcasting, because Trisha Barr was there, Steve Glosson, Jimmy Mack was recording. It was, of course, me and Bethany. Yeah. Ton of folks that came up, and a number of them, a number of you guys who actually came up and said hello in person. So huge thanks to you guys who kind of sidled aside and brought it and said, "Hey, we also like Star Wars Report." In fact, I'll never forget. We all sidled over to Star Tours afterwards.
Yes, that was one of my favorite things, because all 38 of us raided Star Tours, waited in the line, and just talked Star Wars and pretty much nothing else for the, you know, 45 minutes or so we waited, and then we had an entire Star Tours ship to ourselves. Mm-hmm. And pretty much filled that thing up.
That's yes, awesome. In fact,
the only thing close to that, I had one all to myself, but it was just four of us in there. I was like, yeah, this is cool. But I mean, not as cool as 38 people that are all together. I mean, so, that's awesome.
So as we all pile into Star Tours, we pack the place. Everyone's hooping and hollering. Super high energy. It's the highest energy crowd you'd ever hear doing the Star Tours ride. You literally hear like, "Welcome to Star Tours." Right? That's what everybody's doing. And the lady is really excited, with the cast member who's checking everyone's seatbelts. And of course, as you know, Mark, you've ridden on this ride, and on most Disney rides, there are these yellow straps that connect to your seatbelt that you can tug on, and that tells the person whether or not you are safely secured inside your vehicle. and will go nowhere during the hazardous ride before you.
Dude, I'll tell you what it's really for. It's for Coruscant. That's the one part of that ride. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you come into Coruscant and the engine gets hit and it does that nosedive, you're like, holy cow, I'm falling out of the seat.
I still have not been to the Coruscant.
Me either. Portion. That's,
when
that's
you guys
like the
do,
one we want to do.
I'm going to love the moment. I want you to tweet me and go, it happened.
Mm-hmm. We'll do. Maybe next year. You never know. So there we were. And she goes to the first. She goes to the first row and looks out at everybody. Everybody, all right, you know what this is? She says, holding up the yellow device attached to the seat belt. And everyone's like, yeah. There's some mumbling and stuff. She says, it's a strap. And I was like, oh.
Did she do it all gravelly though?
Yes, she did. And a 38 people all moaning. It was the perfectly terrible joke to launch our ride. And then the ride began. And I also know that Jimmy was recording the ride. So another reason to make sure you check out this week's episode of Rebel Force Radio as well. You'll probably hear me screaming because I was sitting. It was Jimmy and Kevin Lyle, artist extraordinaire Kevin Lyle, were sitting next to me, and they had a good thing going. I halfway thought about trying to jump in, but I had nothing clever or entertaining to add more than those guys who were just going at it. And even Steve jumped in too. We were all sitting along the back row. So I thought about trying to jump in. I was like, no, that's not the right time or place. But man, guys, go listen to that. It was insane. That was an absolute blast.
I love the It's a Strap. We got today's episode, or today's shuttle ride is brought to you by Wookiee Cookies. They're chewy.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And then after that, we all got the chance to go see Frank Oz right there in person. Just a really humble guy. That's really what struck me.
Yeah.
It was a great conversation.
He seems so nice. Like, he's the kind of person that it's like, can I know you just because you seem really, really nice?
He seemed like I don't think he understands the level that the extent to that his work has so heavily influenced so many people, whether it's all of his work on the Muppets to, of course, the iconic Yoda performance. And he kind of talked a lot about different aspects of his career. It was a very kind of laid-back conversation. The most interesting part to me was the fact that Frank Oz, the next day, Saturday, which we won't really cover, we didn't really do Star Wars stuff as much, but we were with family all day Saturday, and we all went to the James Arnold Taylor show, to Obi-Wan and Beyond. And right before the show starts, I hear some hooping and hollering, and then the crowd starts bursting into applause, and I look down, and there's Frank Oz, who's being escorted down to the front row to watch James perform his show live.
Nice.
Who, of course, right as he started the show, mentioned that he was the most nervous he'd ever been doing the show, because he's literally doing it in front of voice actor and puppeteer extraordinaire legend Frank Oz, sitting in the front row staring at him while he does the voices of the Muppets, right? Think about that for a second. So that was really cool. Frank Oz was definitely worth seeing. And then
that's almost like a vocal version of a mirror within a mirror within a mirror reflection.
Yep. And we had two more things that evening that I want to touch on. One, Steve Glosson. Let's all take a moment to talk about Steve Glosson, as I believe all podcasts should at some time in their life. If you talk about if you do a podcast that's about fandom at all, at some point you need to spend a nice segment of your show talking about the inimitable Steve Glosson.
Let's take a moment and throw some poison darts at Steve, shall we?
Mark, what a great tease, because our day was not over. We then went off to the Indiana Jones Stunt Spectacular. And by the way, this is just getting later and later in the day, and Jimmy and his whole family they just kept going. It was amazing. We just kept there. There's no time, no downtime, as Jimmy's wont to say.
And interspersed between a lot of these Star Wars things we've talked about, there were other rides and other adventures and walking to and fro across the park.
But
and getting lost and finding each other again.
Move.
Exactly. But I'll tell you what. There we were at the Indiana Jones Stunt Spectacular. Steve had never been. I'd never been, Bethy never been, and She's like, all right, I need a volunteer. And I'm actually sitting next to Steve. And I thought that there was... Steve kind of froze for a second as she came over to our section. And I kind of felt him looking left and right a little bit as he pondered the decision. But he did not ponder it long. And the second she started pointing over in our section, Steve stands up and he's like, woo, pick me!
Like, and both arms raised in the air.
And Steve just
yes.
Steve is a fellow that will get your attention. And I saw them make eye contact, Steve and the crowd wrangler. And she's like, come on down, sir. And of course...
At which point, we are all dying.
So our whole row starts applauding because it's Steve. And this has, of course, become a tradition now because last year at the same day last year, doing the same meetup last year, we also went to the Warwick Davis show where Warwick Davis picked Steve to come on stage and play George Lucas.
Nice.
So,
two for two.
Steve goes down there, and of course they have a bunch of extras, and they do a bunch of stuff, and we won't spoil the actual programming if you ever go see the actual Indiana Jones Spectacular. But there's a moment where they are, you know, having a little bit of fun with the extras to have some kind of in transition entertainment while they set up some stuff in the exhibit and performance to go next. And they're coaching. One of the guys is coaching a death scene. So of course, who do they pick to act out a very special death scene is one Steve Glosson. The video is amazing. You can find it on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Star Wars Report. Oh, I realize my phone's actually beeping at R2 noise at me. Facebook.com/Star Wars Report. We put up the video. It's on YouTube as well. If you go to YouTube and search Steve Glosson's epic SWW Indie Death, Star Wars Weekend's Indie Death, you're going to see this amazing video. And just take a listen to this audio real quick. He's stabbed. He's going back and forth.
That is good. Yes, yes. Good. Oh, he pulled it out. Good. Yeah, move around a little bit. There you go. Drop around. Okay, you can spin the circle. Oh, I like this. All of a sudden, he's strong. Okay. A little better. Hit him with darts, everybody! Give us your line, Steve. Give us your line.
That was Steve Glosson's.
Yes.
At the end, and the video is much better than just the audio.
He does it so well because it's so dramatically overacted in pure Steve fashion that it's absolutely hilarious, and all of us were dying at that point.
Yeah, so that was amazing. After which we went back to Darth Maul, got to hang out there for a little bit.
Ewoks.
We saw the Ewoks again. I ran into, of all people, Corey Vidal, who you guys would recognize from the "You Must Use the Force," right? The John Williams is the Man YouTube video. But of course, he's a really well-known YouTuber and new media guy, and hosted some of Star Wars Celebration, StarWars.com Celebration coverage powered by Verizon. And just did an amazing job. And it was really funny that I just randomly ran into him at Darth Maul, and I got a picture of that. And then we ended our day after Darth Maul being goofy and taking a bunch of pictures, all of which will be up on our Facebook page and StarWarsReport.com on the blog, in the post, where we all pose in front of some of the different murals. My favorite one being the Homestead mural, where we're all looking off into the distance, channeling our inner. My favorite one is Jimmy's. Kind of, he looks like he just doesn't approve of the twin sons. And I put that in the chat caption. And wrapped up our day there at the old Disney. It was an amazing day. Of course, we went back the next day and got to do some stuff. Saturday, before we jump out of our main segment here, Saturday we did get a chance to interview Ashley Eckstein. And the audio of that interview will be here on the podcast here in a few weeks. It'll be appearing next month. Well, we'll be airing in the second half of July and first half of August. We'll be airing pre-recorded episodes that will be scheduled to launch while Bethany and I are both in Montgomery, Alabama at field training at Maxwell Air Force Base. So the podcast audio will be appearing around that time. But the interview itself in text form will be up on the blog very soon as we record this. And she was super nice. The folks from Disney PR were super nice to set it up and had an absolute blast talking to Ashley again. So I wanted to do that huge shout out for sure. And couldn't finish off our weekend without getting a chance to hang out with Steve, where he showed us what Mrs. Pac-Man is, and then we all went and saw Jurassic World. It was fun. What an amazing weekend. Okay, I can't believe
it.
Okay,
you brought it up. I have to talk about it. I went and saw Jurassic World, and it was my first time getting to see The Force Awakens on a big, big, big screen, that trailer. I was like, ah! As soon as it said Lucasfilm, I was the only one. I'm like, yes!
Nice.
My friend's all like, Dad! I'm like, shut up, watch!
Yes. Represent. I like it. I like it. Thumbs up on the movie?
I would say two huge thumbs up. I was very impressed with the movie overall.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, man, that Chris Pratt, if the rumors are true and he plays Indiana Jones or a descendant thereof in some way,
I'm down.
I want to see that movie.
Yes.
Give me that movie. Like, stat.
Yeah, I, as I put it, his role or his acting in that was probably the most superb. There was a scene right at the beginning where they're in a cage and they're there are three actors, one that's over off on the side, and there's the other two. One was like a Hispanic guy, and then there's Chris Pratt. And the dinosaur comes in, and like the Hispanic guy doesn't see the dinosaur, and so he's kind of like running. But Pratt looks over the guy's shoulder and sees the dinosaur. When he turns around, his eyes were so big around, and he looked so terrified. It sold it. And I love the fact that, you know, the other actor didn't see the dinosaur, so he wasn't reacting the same way. It was just, it was brilliant. I loved it so much, man.
Good. Yeah. It's a...
I mean, way to make a movie that... It's kind of like The Walking Dead of movies in the sense of it's a dinosaur sort of terror type movie, but it does focus a lot on the characters. And not just the human characters, but it does give the dinosaurs some depth.
Yeah.
Here's what's odd for me.
All right. I gotta jump in. This is not the Jurassic Park podcast, and we are running super long.
And here
I
went with little Jurassic kids,
so this is something that I'm thinking about for the new stuff. I went with my niece and my nephew, and my nephew is 5 and my niece is 2. And I was like, this might be a little too hardcore for him, which is weird because I'm like, I take him to go see Revenge of the Sith.
Oh my gosh, Steve Glosson, I'm so mad at you now that I remember it. The entire freaking movie, every single scary moment that dragged on, he would be very still in his seat, and then he'd reach out and like smack
so
me.
Good.
Like
it was so good,
right? Right, like, when something terrifying would help, and I would like jump in my seat. And at some point, I actually reached over and hit him like full on.
He finally, I think, laid off
me.
My dad used to do that to me and my sister all the time. Like, damn it, Dad, stop it!
Yeah. Yeah, yes. At some point.
That's what I get for letting you sit next to me, Steve Glosson, sir.
I thought it was hilarious.
I think 7 times. I'm probably that much closer to having a heart attack at some point now because of him. It's all your fault.
The only reason why I brought that up is I was watching the other ones, you know, the 2 and 3 that came before it. Because I remember them being very scary, and they were all PG-13. And then going back over them, I'm like, these aren't as bad as I thought, you know. And I was thinking about, you know, Revenge of the Sith was PG-13. I don't think we've been told whether or not The Force Awakens is going to be PG or PG-13. And I don't know. It was interesting because I definitely was expecting my 2-year-old niece to be wanting to book the first dinosaur bite. And she watched it all the way up to the last 5 minutes before the credits. I was impressed.
Wow. Yeah, it was good. But we will jump back into we're going to get ready to, we've got some E3 stuff to talk about. We got Battlefront. We got Knights of the Fallen Empire. We've got, a little bit of a tribute to one Sir Christopher Lee, but it's all coming up in just.
This is the Star Wars Report Podcast. That's 2 UOME, Junior.
All right, here we go. This episode of the Star Wars Report is brought to you by all of our patrons over at patreon.com/StarWarsReport. Thank you so much to everybody who's joined in. We are releasing all kinds of awesome bonus content for you guys who are supporting the show to help make this a better show. And if you want to join in and support what we do here at the Star Wars Report podcast, be sure to head over to patreon.com/StarWarsReport. Once again, that's patreon.com/StarWarsReport.
We have something to report.
Santosa, I have good news.
Data brought to us by the Bothan spies.
We can send a clear transmission.
There it is. Listen, listen.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Breaking news coming from the Star Wars Report podcast. We have news coming in from E3. Video games, video games, video games. But first, a look at Princess Leia in The Force Awakens. I'm kind of, after seeing James' show, I just need to do like all of the news. There's a leaked image of Princess Leia's new costume from The Force Awakens.
See the stylish colors, the cut lines. Look how graceful she walks on the Coruscant catwalk.
That's good, Mark. I like
it. No, I'll have to
That's
do
uncanny.
It in VR. She looks so amazing right now. I mean, it's very...
Absolutely brilliant.
Exactly. She looks so couture, so lovely, quite. I mean...
Yes, indeed. All right.
I had to go quiet to like. I mean, do you ever feel like those NPR people? They just talk so quietly, and you're straining to listen.
Like they're golf announcers. I
mean, yes.
We have our first look at Leia's costume in The Force Awakens. The hashtag show is a leaked image of Princess Leia's new costume. It does greatly resemble the outfit of the figure widely assumed to be Leia in the second trailer.
Well, what if we went with the wrestling theme, though, you know?
And she's got blue! I repeat, blue sleeves! They're going over a vest! The vest is on fire!
Let's go to... Let's see...
I gotta admit, I hovered over the link. I was like, do I really want to see it? And then I was like, you know, this isn't that spoiler. Yeah, click.
Yeah, I mean, it's a costume, so... But I do think it
looks pretty
cool.
You'll notice that it was pulled from like all of the, from most of the sites. So I don't really have much commentary on it other than the fact that, I was surprised at how appropriately regal she looked, but kind of practical. It wasn't like a royal gown or anything. And I thought she looked good. I thought she looked like, I might imagine Princess Leia, and that's something that I've always been concerned about because Carrie Fisher, God bless her, has had a rough life and one that doesn't really reflect what we would most of us would, I think, expect to see in terms of Princess Leia. But I think my trepidation was not well founded because I think she looks great, and I'm excited to see what role, however small it may or may not be, she will have in The Force Awakens because. Even from the officially released stuff, it looks like Han Solo's our man in center stage for this film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if there's any truth to it, but has she had some work done? Like, I don't know. Some around her mouth
Hollywood.
And nose looks a little tighter than normal. And I think for me, that was where my fear was coming from.
I don't know about that, but you never know. But I will say that she's lost so much weight. And looks so great, and it's a huge tribute to her and the dedication I'm sure that took for this kind of role and for her to return to the role. And I'm so glad that they decided to go that route because it would have been very easy to say we don't even need Princess Leia,
or we don't need Carrie Fisher for Princess Leia.
Heaven forbid.
I do. If you guys noticed, maybe you did, maybe you didn't, but the outfit, the way that she has the sleeves rolled up on that outfit, it does look exactly like the hand that reaches out and takes the lightsaber from the other
hand. That's a good point.
In the trailer. It looks like the exact same color, the length, just there are a lot of similarities there from what I can tell. And that intrigues me as well because that means at some point that hand is holding a lightsaber. That means Leia is holding a lightsaber.
Indeed. Huh. It'll be interesting to see.
For me, the hardest thing with Carrie Fisher is I love her as an actress. I love the things she does. She's very spunky. But I eventually grew to not see her as Leia. So it was kind of hard for me to think about her going back to that role because, like you said, life can be a little rough. But I wasn't sure if she'd be able to do it the same, because I think of her more as more Spitfire, more vulgar, you know, not the same. Get in there, then the shoot, Flyboy, you know, I mean, not so jovial, but I don't know. I mean, seeing the character in the costume, it definitely lowers all the trepidation that I have. And I kind of hope that we get a few more scenes of her, because in a lot of ways, it almost looked like it was Photoshopped. Like they put her head onto another body to make it look like it didn't look like it was like crisp. Like I would like to see her in a photo shoot, you know, like we're seeing all these new actors and stuff.
We've seen these images now. Would not be surprised if we see them appear in some sort of official release very soon.
A man can have anything if he is willing to sacrifice. With your birth comes a solemn vow. You will have nothing. The dirt. In the darkness, only ambition. Swear the promises you make, they are yours alone.
There it is, Star Wars, The Old Republic, Knights of the Fallen Empire. It's pretty
good. I don't know about you, but this is one that's got me excited. It goes all the way back to Deceived for me, with the trailers really amping up the story, you know. I look at this and my brain just starts to race. You know, are we seeing a third order? You know, it looks at times like these two twins are hunting down both Empire and Republic, or Jedi and Sith.
Yep.
They each have the black and the white. And I'm like, what is that representative of? And the way it's marketed, you know, you see some of the links from EA talking about going against the Immortal Emperor. And I'm like, nowhere in there do we see the Immortal Emperor unless the father might be the Immortal Emperor.
I think that's what they're hinting at.
How it ties into Tor, I'm very curious, man.
I love the Twi'lek Sith Lord that kind of resembles Sith Lord, but
Darth Talon.
It's sort of like a Darth Talon before Darth Talon. And these two brothers, it's a Blur Studios amazing Old Republic cinematic trailer, and you guys need to see it. It'll be in the show notes. And
am I the only one who's very much reminded of Sam Witwer and the Secret Apprentice in those two brothers?
Yeah, that's true. That is
no. There's a lot of similarities here, not just to that, but even to Tales of the Jedi. I mean, these two characters, in a lot of ways, might as well be the Qualdrama brothers. Except for in this case, Ulic's the one that dies, and not Kay. I thought that was interesting as well. I was like, oh wow. I don't know. There seemed to be
almost
a story of corruption going on with the white character as the trailer goes on. We watch him get hurt. We watch him get the robotics. You know, we've seen how in Star Wars, when you get robotics, you kind of lose a part of yourself. And I had to question, is that what was coming into play? Or were we watching his reaction to them fighting all that time, as was their birthright? And he's finally like, I'm done. There's so much about that. What is it? Like barely even 4 minutes, but it raised so many questions.
It's amazing. Yeah. And I love, there's the moment where they come before the father figure, and they each have a captured flag, old Imperial flag, and an old Republic flag, Sith Empire flag.
But you know that they're captured.
And they give them as gifts to this Emperor, so you don't really know what faction or side is on. And of course, this might be me speaking out of ignorance from the material, because I'm not as familiar with the era. But it's another really fantastic look at the Old Republic. And it's great to see that the Old Republic, I mean, doesn't seem to be going anywhere.
This is a digital expansion, but I don't know how much. I mean, I'm not really a huge gamer, so I don't know how much a digital expansion would or would not change the game. But apparently they really want to have a more renewed focus on the BioWare style cinematics.
Yep.
Yes, I mean, that Deceived trailer, I still remember how much I was wishing at the time, I wish this was a movie. I really, really wish this was a movie.
Oh, yeah.
The following is actual multiplayer gameplay footage captured from a PlayStation 4. Ladies and gentlemen, Star Wars Battlefront. It looks so good. So good. All right. So here we are taking a look at the old Star Wars Battlefront.
You know, what's interesting about Battlefront is that there's a lot of fan reactions as to the story mode versus the multiplayer mode. And one thing about that really stands out to me in comparison with the last trailer we just watched is the Old Republic, Knights of the Fallen Empire, is Legends. It's adding story to Legends. And now Battlefront, as far as we've been told, there isn't a story mode to this so far as we've been told. And it's canon. So it's very interesting how, you know, you got one that's definitely telling a story and the other one that's in a really unique position and fans across the board are having mixed reactions. I know for me, my reaction is more, I'm more of the, you know, last Xbox, not Xbox 360, but the first Xbox.
Yeah.
I'm used to playing with people in my room, not online, you know, playing by myself. So it's a weird concept to think about having to be online to play certain games or to do the interactions. Although I hear nothing but rave reviews about that type of play. But there is a lot of people that are concerned about the story. And Pablo Hidalgo said something funny as heck on Nathan Butler's, I believe it was either his personal page or his Timeline Gold. And it was talking about, you know, going to video games for story content is like getting fiber from ice cream.
That's hilarious.
That's a fair point.
Video games are moving away from that now. And I mean, you see that with a shift in focus with the Old Republic. People want the long-form Knights of the Old Republic stories in a lot of ways. They want to combine Halo with that story.
Yeah, but
that's not really what Battlefront is.
It's not what they're trying to go for. In Battlefront, they're very much just showing off just the sheer quality of the gameplay. And, of course, it's all very visual, and I'm sure you guys have seen it, but I'm just so impressed because the mechanics and the, you know, the look that we've come to love as Battlefront fans, but just on modern graphics, and it just looks beautiful. And watching this gameplay makes me want to buy a PlayStation 4 or Xbox One.
Because Final Fantasy is coming out. I'm leaning that way so hard.
Well, but that's the thing is that I am not a gamer by any stretch of the imagination, but I love me some Battlefront. There are very few games. There are a few handful of games that I've spent hours and hours on. Knights of the Old Republic.
Yep.
The Nintendo DS Super Mario World.
Tetris.
This is true.
It's different Mario games, yeah.
And Star Wars Battlefront 2.
Well, we did both play the first Force Unleashed quite a bit.
That's true. And the first Force Unleashed, that story was very compelling. And the PSP version of the game was something that we spent a lot of time on. And I am not somewhat... So, I would not be inclined to necessarily get it, but the fact that this doesn't, it's not going to take hours and hours away from your life, but still be a super immersive way to play, and I am 100% sold. Who knows? Maybe if I can scrape the pennies together and maybe convince certain other siblings that it's worth going in. maybe we'll get a next generation console and put Battlefront on it and party in the USA. Party like, you know, there ain't no tomorrow.
If Battlefront ditches the story mode completely, there's a part of me that's like, you know, that's not necessarily a bad thing.
No,
you know?
I don't think so.
I think about how often Legends games in the past would have a detail off and then they'd have to do a retcon or something. If you leave the story out of it, you don't have to worry about that. And I know right now there are a lot of EU fans that are mad about the new canon and stuff that are just waiting for that moment when they're like, oh, well, we got an heir. Why do we reset it all if we have an heir? And it's going to happen.
But
I kind of think leaving the story out is probably a good thing for now.
Yeah, I agree. But like, how long do you think that will be the case? How long do you guys think that the more diehard EU fans or the more diehard. Like, I even think there's a possibility that prequel fans, people who grew up with the prequels, will find the style of the new film really different.
Sorry.
Like, they, prequel fans, diehard prequel fans might come into these films and be like, oh, that was just so different. You know?
I don't think so.
There's a lot of prequel fans right now that are upset about the shift in everything. Everything's moved away from the prequels. Though, those of you fans that feel that is true, I will point to you at Star Wars Kanan. You know, we do have some things that are still set in the prequel trilogy. But I don't know. To answer your question, I don't think it's ever going to go away, because I think there will always be contingents. Yeah. And I think that those minorities are always going to be the most vocal of those groups. And in a lot of cases, especially in the one I was using, I'm mainly sensationalizing it, but I really truly think that those ones out there that are waiting for it, they're just looking for what they'll figure is their justification, you know, to complain.
Absolutely.
So I don't see that going away. I could see, you know, Disney and Lucasfilm kind of, you know, lowering our guard and helping everybody that has their guards raised, you know, embrace it more. But I don't know. I've seen so many fans that just turn their back from the things they don't like. And that even goes back to when it was still EU. I mean, New Jedi Order came and bam, Chewie died. People walked. They were like, I'm done. You know, you get to the end of that series and, you know, Jason starts going dark side. I'm done.
I'll tell you what though, man.
Yeah.
People who had a hard time with New Jedi Order and the whole Chewie thing, they just need to start watching Game of Thrones. That's what they need to say.
Oh, man, I'm still brutal on that finale.
We won't talk about it.
I won't.
Yeah.
Ouch!
Yep. That's Game of Thrones for you. Man. But I also, in kind of closing this week's episode, I want to talk about Christopher Lee. Of course, veteran actor, of course, played Count Dooku and Saruman and Count Dracula and so many amazing iconic film roles, and just a really amazing guy in not only the world of acting, but serving in the military in World War II. So, I mean, just a incredible guy. He did a lot of Hammer horror films back in the day, worked with Peter Cushing. He was also in The Last Unicorn, but he's just such a prolific actor, and of course we all know him as Count Dooku, evil Sith Lord. From Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith. And I wanted to, instead of just kind of go through the news, I wanted to read a couple of tweets that I thought did a kind of apt job of kind of summarizing the man. And then we'll each go through and pick our favorite Christopher Lee or Count Dooku moment in the realm of Star Wars. But we will, I want to start off. Sam Jackson tweeted that Christopher Lee was a kind and most gracious man that embodied the words gentleman and professional. I'm enriched by my time that I spent with him. It's a tragedy. Daniel Logan tweeted, sad news, Sir Christopher Lee passed away, and I'm honored I was able to meet and work with him, a true gentleman and professional. And that's true. Christopher Lee reprised his role as Count Dooku for the 2008 Clone Wars film, and has been steadily working since then. I mean, we were just in theaters seeing him kick butt in the most recent Hobbit film. But it's certainly a man who lived a long and full life and gave so much to so many people through his characters. And I, if you guys don't mind, I'd love to kick us off. Excuse me. Because. For me, when I found out that Christopher Lee played Count Dooku, I already knew who he was, and I'm trying to think of why. And I think I must have been familiar with Saruman from Lord of the Rings before, even though I hadn't seen those films. And I remember we had a good friend of ours in a family that we got to hang out and play a lot growing up during middle and high school age, the Pattersons. And I'll never forget, it was before I even watched the film, and I kind of tell a version of this story on my Star Wars story coming up soon. But I got to, who would reenact scenes from the Star Wars movies, as my friend Daniel Patterson would actually watch them. And he watched them before I did. So I remember it was shortly after he had watched Attack of the Clones for the first time on VHS. And so, of course, he describes in detail the entire final act of Attack of the Clones, including the duel with Count Dooku. And of course, we all have to get out our plastic lightsabers and reenact everything.
Yeah. I was always the bad guy. Why was I always the bad guy?
Or it was you, or actually Daniel would often, I think, play Count Dooku by virtue of his height.
That's true.
But we would get together and we would reenact. And that's why that scene kind of is a classic to me, because by the time I watched, Attack of the Clones, when Yoda confronts Dooku and you see a connection that Christopher Lee has with the digital character. And it's a personal connection, and you know why. And I knew why before I even watched it, so I noticed it, because I was looking for it. And when Yoda says, "My old apprentice," and you realize that, as you watch Attack of the Clones, Count Dooku learned under the tutelage of Yoda, and that confrontation is personal. And you see it in the way Christopher Lee reacts to Yoda and his arrogance, and it is a personal level of superiority that he feels. And it just tells you the level of acting skill that the man has. And I think that has to be my favorite moment of Count Dooku's and Christopher Lee's performance.
Yeah.
See, I had a feeling you were going to go there, so I shifted mine. For me, you know, because you did nail the best one, I think, but the one I like second best and the one I will select is when Obi-Wan's hanging on Genosis and Dooku is sitting there trying to persuade him to join him and is basically telling him 100% the truth. I liked it on so many levels just within the writing, but the way Christopher Lee plays that, it's brilliant, because you do get the feeling like he's lying, even though you know he's flat out telling the truth. And he's almost imploring Kenobi, you know, almost like to his grandson, because in a sense, at least in Legends, you know, it went Dooku, it went Qui-Gon, then it went Obi-Wan. So you always felt like, you know, there was that connection there. And if anybody in the order that Dooku would want to have on his side, it would be Qui-Gon. And if it can't be Qui-Gon, well, then it would be Obi-Wan. And so to reach out to him the way he did while Obi-Wan's a captive and trying to persuade him through the truth like that. That's one of my favorite scenes, aside from the big lightsaber battle, which is just awesome and brilliant on its own. But that moment where, you know, Kenobi's hanging helpless and he's trying to decipher whether or not Dooku is lying to him or is telling him the truth, or, you know, it's all something else. I don't know. I was in that moment with Kenobi, and, you know, Christopher Lee really delivered on it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Such an amazing moment.
Yeah. The funny thing is, I did actually almost choose both of those moments. But then this moment struck in my mind as something that that really stuck with me is actually the duel between Anakin and Dooku. I mean, and Obi-Wan is there, of course, too, but specifically when it's between Anakin and Dooku, because at that moment, Count Dooku, he's fully embraced who he is, but he also, I mean, as you put it, Mark, he's telling the truth. He believes in his cause fully, and he is loyal to the Emperor and loyal to being a Sith, and he truly thinks he's helping the galaxy, whereas Anakin is pretty much just an insecure wreck at the end of Revenge of the Sith, and Sidious is just purely evil. Count Dooku does have an elegance and a sense of honor, even if it's kind of a dark honor. Anakin is hasty and troubled and charges Count Dooku and essentially loses his cool and his temper, and Dooku just simply and calmly battles him. Count Dooku is not out for revenge at this point. He's not trying to tease or torture Anakin. He has a job to do, and it's his mission, and he's going to do it, and he's going to do it elegantly. And he's going to do it with freaking Sith lightning.
Yeah, he executes it so perfectly.
It's his cape and his lightsaber and everything. He is so assured in his cause and in who he is, and that's honestly, outside of Padme and Leia, that's very rare. Almost all of the other characters have moments where they really question themselves,
so
they
true.
Change, and really, Padme, Leia, Dooku, and a couple of other characters like from Legends are the only characters I can really think of who stay the same, but in a good way, because at a young age, they knew what it was they were doing in life, and they knew whose side they were on.
You know, I have to almost challenge that, because right at the end of his life, when Anakin's got the two lightsabers around his head, and he looks at Count Dooku, he realizes, I made a mistake. And that moment is probably the next best moment for me, because he looks over and just the way his eyes light up, and he's just like, I blew it. I put everything on the wrong side.
The mistake he makes is because he sees that Sidious is not who he is, who he thought he was.
Yeah.
And he realizes that he was deceived.
That is such a good look, though. But right as he realizes it, you were deceived, you know, and that moment of realization, I think definitely. But yeah, it's such an amazing actor and such a long and well-lived life, and we will certainly miss Sir Christopher Lee. Here at Star Wars Report, we wish him a fond farewell, and may the Force be with him always. Thanks so much for listening to the Star Wars Report podcast. We've had an absolute blast talking Star Wars weekends and all the news in between. We really appreciate you guys listening. I'm actually a little bit choked up, I'm not gonna lie. It's sad to see him go, and certainly a man who's been such a big part of so many films that I've loved. But it's a natural part of things. It is the way of life. But yeah, if you enjoyed the show, please, by all means, leave us a review on iTunes. That always really helps get the word out about the show. And we always appreciate you guys who enjoy the show leaving reviews on iTunes. We'll put it that way. And also to all of our patrons over at patreon.com/Star Wars Report, huge, huge thank you. We will be sending out emails very shortly to you guys who are at the $15 level and above. We're going to be sending out a set of t-shirts very soon. So if you want to jump in on that, make sure that you go to patreon.com/Star Wars Report. Make sure you follow us on Twitter. It's at Star Wars Report. And we're facebook.com/Star Wars Report. I love the Old Republic music there. Make sure that you are staying tuned to us right here. If you're not subscribed to the show, make sure that you are through iTunes or your podcatcher of choice to catch us each and every week. We've got some great programming coming up very soon, some special guests that are in the works. I'm very excited about that. Make sure that you follow each of our personal accounts on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at The Riley Guy. Bethany's Bethany L. Blanton. Mark is Illogical Rogue 2. And that's going to do it for this episode. Thanks so much for tuning in. We really appreciate you guys who joined us live. We're pretty much each and every Friday. We're on a little bit of off schedule because of Star Wars weekends, but we'll be back at it at a pretty regular schedule starting back this Friday. But you never know. Always stay tuned to the social media. That's when we give the shout-outs of when we're going live. So that puts the wraps on this episode. Yes, Mark?
Riley, we're home.
Thank you. We are. And remember, many Bothans died to bring you this podcast.
Love that soundtrack.
It's so good. Mark Griske's the man. Mark Griske is the man. Mark, we're missing something.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
There it is. Now I can turn off the recorder. All right.